interview with Nadia here in her apartment, and
in her dungeon, you should say.
In her dungeon.
Yeah.
Okay. Nadia, what other, what do you do for a living?
Well, I dedicate my time to make money, and it's that with men, especially. Because for me, a woman don't need to hold a straight job, because I feel that she will be shortchanged. It's better to take advantage of the weakness of men, which is sex.
And this job is actually playing games and having fun?
Yes, this one I choose because I choose basically S&M to avoid the things who are disgusting me, which was sex that I reserved for a man that I will have feeling for and that I can enjoy myself with, but not with customers. Of course, that will be like a sacrilege, you will say, to have sex with a customer.
What do you do for fun and games yourself?
Well, I travel. I like to go to the movie. I like to be with a man I really like or love or be comfortable with. That give me a good change from my routine with those under bastards that pass through my door and that I just want their money. So I like to be with somebody I appreciate, the company. I like friends. And I like different things, you know, like to be with my family, my daughter, and do different interesting things, sports. I go to exercise, I work out to keep my body in shape, and that pick up a lot of my time.
Back to your job. Do you enjoy your work?
Not at all. I get one kick and one sort of high of my job, especially when I leave the customers. I feel I've accomplished something, and I forget the pain and the time invested because I have the money to consolate me. It's basically the only thing we have, the money, because of course we don't have the satisfaction to be talking about the reward, mental, and the satisfaction of our job. We cannot brag about it because the Western society don't accept that job. So you have to keep into yourself. So my social life is kind of limited, that I should have only girlfriends who are in that line of business.
Is your job a game? It might be a job for you, but for the clients, is it a game?
It is definitely a game for them. It's a thrill.
It's a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you create an atmosphere to make it a game? Playtime.
Well, you know, I put the movie that they will like, that for myself disgust me tremendously. Some of those educational movies, you will call, especially on S&M, when you see a mistress dressed in leather, like I dress myself, to be impressive and all that. So I put an atmosphere of game with my costume, with my behavior, to be very dominatrice, and treat them like a piece of shit or like they want to be treated. Basically, I adjust myself to their needs. You know, don't want to be spanked and just want to have verbal humiliation, then I will use my imagination to talk to him on the way he wants to be addressed.
And how do you dress up?
Oh, I dress in leather and chains and high heels. And look in black, especially, which is more impressive. You know, I don't look. The color is very important. Black and red are two dominant colors, as you can guess. And leather is one material that really appears to the S&M. And the chain with the noise of them and the looks that create an impression of dominance.
You talk a lot about dominance. You are actually the challenger, and are there any rules? Are you the authority?
Of course.
The in charge of the game? Are you?
Absolutely.
You dictate all the rules?
Absolutely. And I expect them to obey my rules, because on the beginning, I put those rules down, and I warn them that if they are naughty and they don't do as I to please me, I will be very mean to them. And it's basically what they expect, you know, they want to have an authority image in front of them who remind them of their mother who was domineering, of probably some member of their family who was domineering. But I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm just a playmate for them for a while.
Is the object of the game to tease?
Of course it is. It's one part of it. To tease, they expect to be teased. If it was up to them, they would like to be teased for hours. But unfortunately, my times don't go that far, and their money is not that stretchable. Otherwise, I could extend a session to 12 hours if they have the money to afford it. It will be very strenuous for me too, because of course I don't have to remind you that it's only for the money that I do those stupid games.
You don't get any pleasure out of teasing them. You're not in this game that you're playing with them. It's basically one person is playing a game and the other person is you.
Yes.
And you are the let's say the judge or the challenger, the dominant person. Yes. In control.
The reason is the only money make me do those things. Basically, I don't like it. I am even maybe a little bit submissive as a female, I will say. Even though I can be domineering with a boyfriend, but that is another part, that's my private life. I don't think you're interested to go through that today. But as far as for the truc, the only thing that I will say give me a satisfaction is to see them on their hands and knees and on their ridiculous position. I like to degrade them. That give me a slight satisfaction, I should say.
Then you do enjoy the game, and you are also playing in the game. There, you're creating an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And you're dictating the rules. And what role do they play in the game?
They're just accessory. To me, I consider them as objects. Not even animals, I would say, because I love animals, and I definitely don't love the trucks. To me, they're not human, but they're not even animals. They're just things that are puppets that I move the string. And if they will disturb the order of those strings, then I will be very nasty to them. And sometimes I have to restrain myself, especially when I was under influence of some other substance. Then I have some idea of hurting them very much physically that have given me some satisfaction, like to throw blood. But I was always more or less in control because, of course, the scare of going to jail, and I don't want to be in trouble just because of a trick. That will not be worth it for me.
It's a dangerous game, then.
For them, if they will play that with a complete neurotic, but even though I'm not completely well balanced, I am not that neurotic, and my interest for them don't go until to act out my little fantasy that was just a little toad who was crossing my head. And also I will say it will be foolish to kill the motherfucker, because after all it's a repeat business and he will come back and give me his money again, so why to kill the golden goose?
So they do keep coming back. They do enjoy this game.
Oh, definitely. They call me on the phone and call me Mistress Nicole, which is my war name, Nicole. And they tell me in what predicament I wish them to see them. And I order them some funny shirt, like to sleep in some feminine underwear, like tight corset and stocking and garter belt, and to sleep like that all night. Are to sleep on the foot of their bed, and I know they obey me because they're foolish enough to go through that. They like to have that idea. They do something on my command.
So, do you consider your practice an art?
Sort of, because not everybody is capable or is willing to do that kind of stuff. You have to have that in you a little bit.
What kind of props do you use? And I also would like to hear more about the client's role, as you were saying, they are tied up. And can you describe the game and how you play the game?
Oh yeah, you want to have, for instance, the resume of one session?
Sure.
Basically, well, I will warn them over the phone to come prepare with their money, and to have the money in their mouth and to crawl through my door on their hands and knees, which they do. So you can imagine the sight of one man in three-piece suit working with a 300-400 between his teeth, and looking with looking at me like a cocker spaniel look. But I have to keep my serious. On the beginning, I used to laugh. I mean, not laugh loudly, but inside, because the situation is rather comical. And then they are instructed to put down their pants and show me their bare bottom, and I will administrate 20 or 30 lashes. And that's for the start. And, of course, after I will order them to stand in front of me bare naked. And I will make them do some funny chore, like cleaning up my panties in the sink, or cleaning up the toilet bowl. You know, some of them, I have asked them to lick the toilet bowl, which they have done when they are into that shit, so to speak, you know. So anyway, it's very versatile, you know. Some they will like heavy pain, like some nipple clip on their nipple. So I have all an accessory of nipple clip that pinch, more or less. And then I have some dildo to stick up their ass, because, of course, to be fucking their ass is part of their fantasy. Even I can stick some in their mouth and ask them to show me how they will give a nice blowjob. So, I mean, you see those men who so sometimes are president of a big corporation with a big plastic dick, one in her ass and one in her mouth, and looking completely stupid. And, of course, it's not a nice sight, but it's a comical sight, I will say. Then, some of them like to be under a strain, what they call bondage. So I have my my assortment of bondage, which is leather and chains, and I chain them to the bed, to the four posts of the bed. And they lay there, spread eagles, and sometimes I put a gag on their mouth, telling them they will have no resort even to scream if I inflict some pain on them. So you can imagine their terror inside. They know that nothing bad will happen to them, but they live on the expectation that something will happen. And they are helpless because they are tied up, they are on my mercy, they are gagged. Sometimes I put a hood over their head, making sure they can breathe, of course, because I don't want to have a stupid corpse in my apartment that I will know how to dispose after. And the session goes on with some teasing, you know, and I alternate suffering and soft touch sometimes. And of course, I make sure that on the session, they keep their hard on constantly, practically. So apparently, they enjoy that kind of stuff. And I order them to come only when I tell them to. And I make different threats, like I will make them eat their cum by scooping the cum on my hand and smear it all over their face, and that apparently excite them tremendously. So of course I never go through that warning, because one time when a guy have come, he come back to his senses. So actually it's just a fantasy he was having. But all that is, you know, you have to know about those things, about the men mentality.
I would like to hear more about this men mentality and how you keep the game, the playing going on, keeping the fantasy going. Like you just said, the man came back to his senses, and so the game ended obviously when he came back to his senses. So what do you do to keep the game going?
You mean
from experience?
Yes, from experience. And you have to sense, you know from bodily language you can feel if a guy will have pain or he like that what you are just doing to him. So you keep doing it for a while, then you alternate with some other stuff, another way you feel your way around. And plus the guys usually have, if you do what he like, if he don't like bondage, you don't going to tie him by force. You basically go with the flow, you know.
So it's all spontaneous, and they also have a role in the rules, I guess, because they're also practicing in the game. They're also dictating what's going on.
They are the one who pay. So basically they are the one who dictate the game. Me, I go according, but the game is me being the dominant figure. They like to be dominated, but toward in reason. They come here for the fantasy, not to be exterminated, you know. Even though I have seen the case of a guy who wanted actually that I kill him. He was ready to give me $3,000 for me to go tie him up on the wood and castrated him. But that was, I will call, an erotic case. I even not see him anymore after a while, because I don't want to involve myself in that, of course.
Do they enjoy the pain? They obviously do.
Mm-hmm.
And each time they phone up and you ask them what kind of costume that they want and what kind of situation. That's, I would like to know more about the game and how things happen.
Well, basically the costume is the same, even though some will like some silk on you, some will, but they generally like high heels. That's, you know, the high heels, stocking. They love to see a woman on stocking or boots, leather boots. And whatever you can come on with, you know, some corset. And most of them like leather. I have not seen one slave yet who don't like leather. Leather seem to have an appeal, you know, or a smell also that appeal to them.
Okay, Nadia. What about your clients? Why do you suppose they want to play these games? And also, they also like to get dressed up themselves. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I guess many men have inside of them some feminine hormone. I mean, most every man actually, but some more or less, and some they have that fantasy to be dressed in woman just to feel, you know, how it's to have silky underwear on and to see themselves in a woman. It's just a fantasy. They will dare go on the street that way, and it's not mean they're homosexual, but that's another subject. The psychiatrists have search on that, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, but what I have seen is a great pleasure of admiring their legs, which are usually more shapely than women's legs, and I accentuate that fantasy. I say, look, darling, how pretty you look. I give them feminine name, and I put makeup on them, and some of them turn out to be even lovely with makeup. To me, it's not shocking, it's rather amusing, because I always like these guys, and Halloween and stuff like that, and they look good with wigs and stuff. And they like to have that feelings to be feminine for a while, and to be able to go out in their men's clothes and have live that fantasy. And they will parade around my apartment with their high heels, looking awkward on the beginning because it's difficult to walk on high heels, as you can imagine. But actually, some of them have turned out to look good with their makeup.
You seem to enjoy this, and I also like your shirt. It's Felix. And it has Felix the cat, and life is just a bag of tricks.
You
seem to come up with a bag of tricks for your clients, don't you?
Definitely. And you see, even when I'm on the break, like now, that I'm not making any money, I think that that business I've never let go of me. I'm obsessed with my business. So for me, actually, it must be pleasurable, because it's many years that I have done that. And I don't see another way of living, because to me, straight life and straight job is maybe appealing for certain person, and maybe it will be his appeal for me. But as far as money is concerned, I prefer to make my money that way.
So you've been in this profession for quite a while, and I guess it's an art for you, and you've become a lot better at your job?
It's a lifestyle, so to speak. You know, I don't do that to support a drug habit or a gambling habit. It's just a way to pay my bills and also to live. If I feel to take off for 1 week or two, I have no boss to tell me to stay home and or 8-hour job, you know, from 9 to 5, which will be impossible for me to deal with. Not impossible, but more difficult.
Okay, we're about to wrap this up now. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us on how this is play and festivities, because that's what this is for?
Well, I will just say that it's a job that is, EF is for, what we say, going and ongoing, but EF also is inconvenient, and I will not recommend this job for my daughter or something like this, because the main things that the main downfall about that job that I will see is not acceptable by Western civilization, and you have to live with understanding and knowledge that you will be an outcast in society. You cannot have a social life and claim what your occupation is. You have to be in cachet, I would say cachet, you know. I mean,
Secret.
You have to be secret. And that can bring a big burden on you mentally and emotionally. You cannot share that with many people.
But isn't this just playing games? Why is it so... Why does it have to be so secret? I guess you know of other places where you don't have to be secret about this
game
play?
Yes, some other culture accept that more casually, you know, but especially as far as Anglo-Saxon culture, it's very hard for them to accept even the word prostitution for them. It carries more weight than criminal, and a criminal is, you know, killing someone. So you have to deal with that the stigma that they have put on that profession, and the wrong things they have attached to it, which is like they associate prostitution with drugs, with stealing, with no good person, and they forget that the prostitute can also be a human being with feeling, and can be sometimes a very good human being and a very good feeling and good idea. But for them it's difficult to understand that. That's it.
So this is, it's more like a reward, or it's satisfying. It's a game that you get pleasure and satisfaction out of, and you're able to relieve some tension, or?
In the way, and also was one way to defy society, you know. It's fun to say that, understand that everybody is against you, basically, but you're still doing something that is forbidden, and that some people inside of them will like to try, at least for a while. Because I talk to many straight women who will like to be a prostitute for 1 week or two. Or some men, eventually, who will like to go serve women and get money. But they will dare say that aloud, you know, they just say that when they confide in you.
Do you feel that you will retire soon from this?
Well, sometimes it's a matter of joke. I say I will do that until I'm 110 years old, but I know it's not practically possible because as far as look or health is concerned, you have sometimes, you know, to lay back and do some other young lady doing your job, you know. So maybe I will retire sort of by becoming a madam, which I do also part-time right now.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to share before we turn off the tape?
Well, not especially. It was a pleasure to have been talking to you, Chris. You're always, not only you are my interviewer, but you are as well as a friend. And maybe, you know, one day you become one of my trucs.